You know, I might say something and I might speculate as to my thoughts about it, and you might do the same thing. And if you do, if we're not accurate, you know, the Lord will bless us and He'll help us. Because in conversation, I might say, Brother Taylor, let's go up to the store. I think we can get some meat for 45 cents a pound. We'll get up there at 46 cents a pound. And Brother Taylor said, ha-ha, you was wrong. So I said, well, Brother Taylor, it was, you know, that's what it was the other day, but it's gone up a penny. You know, we like to justify ourselves if we can. But I said that to say there's a difference between speculation and prophetical utterance. And if somebody came to me this morning and was telling me that a certain person was blasting us, even over the radio, which is a foolish thing to do, it seems to me like folks could find better things to talk about than me. But anyway, he was blasting me, and according to the report, calling my name, and which they do, numbers of them do it. You'd be surprised, some of the leading ministers have done it, and they've gotten in trouble. But I thought, now that's the spirit of error. And the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of error, because I love the man, I helped the man, I have helped the man financially a number of times. But I've never done him any wrong that I know of. But the thing is, I still love him, I still respect him. But the thing is, he also gave forth a prophecy. He sent a tape directly to Brother Atlee Beachy and addressed him as Elder Beachy, and which Brother Atlee is one of our elders. That is, not elderly man, but elderly in the work of the Lord is to one to be greatly respected and reverent. The Bible said, receive not an accusation against an elder, lest it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He's also our chief governor here. But anyway, this man told Brother Atlee in the prophecy that he was a prophet. And he was saying, as of thus saith the Lord, as a prophetical utterance, that was it May the 31st, Brother? On May the 31st, that the days of the Gentiles had ended and was over. And even at the time of the writing, or that is the time of the tape, that it was already 5 days past the closing of the days of the Gentiles. You know, whereas that's his business. And whatever, but since he brought it into our camp, then I have a right to comment on it because these are my sheep. And it is absolutely false prophecy. There's nothing to it. It's altogether false. And I dare say that the spirit of error, though the man fasts and prays with a continual thing, but I dare say he picked up the spirit of error by trying to accuse us. He let himself go out of a jealousy, saying things against us, took on the spirit of error, and because of that, now he's prophesying, as the Bible said, in Baal, which is the flesh. It is a true fact that the closing of the days of the Gentiles is at hand, folks, and it is a true fact that it is closing out. There's no doubt about it. God is bringing it to a close. Everything is pointing to it. But it wasn't on that date that it closed out. As a matter of fact, if it closed out, you and I both would be in bad shape. Somebody said, well, you know, Brother Pike, 6 1/2 dozen other, who am I to believe, him or you? He says he's a prophet. He's got a right to say what he says. I agree to it. You got a right to say what you say. You got a right to think what you think. I got a right to say what I say and think. So far as human rights, which is the Laodicean age, which means people to write. But if the Bible says something, you nor I nor anyone else has any right to say anything that's contrary to it, and that's contrary to the Bible. It's not at all it. It doesn't give it that way. Maybe you've never heard anybody talk about the closing out of the Gentile age. Maybe you're not interested in it. Maybe it's never been defined, or any definition as to what it is has been given to you. But nevertheless, the Bible gives a definition of the time, and a positive time as when the Gentiles' days will close out, and lets us know when it will not close out. And one of the warnings was that God, back in the days of Paul, gave a warning to the people. Some was preaching that the resurrection is already past, Paul said, which is false. And he said they've overthrown some people's faith by doing that. You know, you can overthrow people's faith and make them think they're caught in the tribulation if they got confidence in you. And they lose all hope as to a translation, or, as the Bible said, to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. That is to say, if you want to get out of here through the translation, not go through the tribulation period. And as the Bible said, some having gone through the fire, you know, some will be saved as going through the fire, whereas the Bible said God will put Jacob through the fire and make him pass under the rod. So I don't want to go through the tribulation period. And some teaches that you will go through the tribulation period, that that's what it's all about, all of these camps that they're building out here and food that they're gathering up, which I know that they're honest and sincere. And I know there will be people that will go through the tribulation period, so let them heap up whatever they want to. But I can tell you as of a truth, the church of the living God will not go through that. They will be translated. I know the Bible said, and he'll overcome the saints and such and such and such, and I know them are saints, but you've got to differentiate as to what kind of saints he's talking about. All right, so I said all this to say that if I just speculate and I give you my thoughts on it, then my thoughts is no more than his thoughts. Receive him as well as me. For who knows who's right. But if I give you the word of God, then that's the way it is. And if he gives you the word of God, then that's the way it is. So that is, if it isn't taken out of context, whereas Satan quoted the word of God to Jesus, it's still, that's the way it was. But Jesus said, it is also written as line upon line and precept upon precept. So we don't make void the word of God, even if the devil, you know, quotes it. Still right. Not him, but the word. Spirit might not be right. Misuse of the word. Whereas the Bible said they've taken the truth of God and changed it into a lie. That is to make it say something that's to a personal benefit as to the gullible desire of the flesh and not that of God. All right, so then that isn't true when the man says what he did about the days of the Gentiles is closed out on a certain day. That isn't right at all. It's the spirit of error. And God has not given us the spirit of error. And I said that, folks, to say this. Where those things come from is not following leadership and thinking too highly of ourselves and not thinking soberly according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto us. Oh, somebody said, bless God, I think he vainly puffed up. I know as much as you know. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's your business. We're not here to dispute that. Maybe you know more than I do. But I do know this. It's like Tony and I was talking yesterday. If I come up to Tony and Tony wants me to help put in some electrical, and Tony says, I want this and want that. I said, I ain't messing with that. I know as much about it as you do. And I reach up and grab a hot wire. Right then and there, we'll learn the difference. It'll be too late for me, maybe. But we'll learn the difference between an electrician and a presumptuous fella. And I don't plan to do it. If I go to messing with electricity, I say, hey, Tony, what are we going to do over here? Because I do that all the time because he is an excellent electrician. As a matter of fact, he was messing with something down here back of the building and fire flew everywhere. And I was glad I wasn't on the other end of it. But Tony, it just flew all around him and he knew what to do with it. I didn't. I knew what was happening spiritually, but I didn't know what to do with that fire flying everywhere. So see, I feel like this. If you're not schooled in something, if God didn't call you in something, the Bible said to abide in your calling. If you are a prophet, I have no objection. I wish we had a world full of them. Like Moses said, they said, oh, they're down there prophesying. Moses, he said, I would have got all of them were prophets. It made his job a lot easier. But the Bible said God had taken of the spirit of Moses and put upon them, and they were prophesying. And I know you can do that because John came in the spirit of Elias. And you can do that. But I'm just saying that, you know, unless that's the way it is, you don't need to be doing those things. Because if a prophet prophesies something presumptuously, that prophet shall die. And you might make mistakes, you might stumble, you might say things. All of us do. You know, we're just human beings. But when you get into the spirit of error, God has not given you the spirit of error. And it's like the meat, it might be 25 cent a pound, it might be 27 cent a pound. I don't know, prices change if they fluctuate. God's word doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said it's the same to 1,000 generations. It's not altered in heaven. Not altered. One jot nor tittle, even of the law. Jesus said, it shall not pass away till all be fulfilled, which is a great, great revelation. That is in this that we're saying, if we just had time to go into it. So, we need to beware, because Paul said even in his day, having overthrown the faith of some, Let no man trouble you as the day of the Lord being at hand. Don't let nobody trouble you by saying, hey, day after tomorrow is when he's coming. For, he said, that day shall not come until there be a great falling away, and that man of perdition be revealed, that sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Bible said, he whom God will destroy with the brightness of his coming. And of course, the brightness of his coming doesn't mean a natural light as to a natural illumination, but with the spiritual light as to the enlightenment of your understanding and to drive out the infiltration that's within the temple. Whose temple ye are, he's sitting within the temple. Paul said, no good thing within the flesh. As to will is present, but how to perform, I cannot find that. For I find when I would do good, evil is present with me. So then, he is coming with the brightness of his coming to the eradication of that evil one as to a mind of Lucifer as a derivative from the fall, that is of the garden, as of the tree of knowledge. And God is driving him out from the innermost light as of the kingdom of God within you. A transformation to bind to be you, therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, and from glory to glory, as enlightenment to enlightenment, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width, and the length, so as to eradicate from within this light, takes out the impurities, measure by measure, potion by potion, as it comes into your genetics, a little as you're able to receive it and conform to it, as to the change. The Thessalonian change, as Paul spoke of, even as to Stephen's face shining as an angel when wisdom made his face to shine, or that of Moses when he had to put a veil over his face, or that of Jesus as he was in glory with Moses and Elijah and was illuminated when his raiment was so white, whiter than any fuller soap could whiten it. See, so there is an interglory as to the Christians. It's breaking forth into the genetics and changing you from faith to faith, from glory to glory, as faith by the hearing of the word, as to the unveil, as the revelation of the mind of Christ, that you might be eternal. See, so God is working with you with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming, in that the Bible said, and God shall suddenly appear within his saints, whose saints ye are. For you're the temples of God. The man that defileth that temple, the Bible said, God shall destroy him. But the Bible said, God shall suddenly appear within his temples. That is, in your body, to be glorified within his saints. You, the saint. And all the world will come and kneel before you and know that God has loved you. The Bible said, he that when his soul shall shine or outshine brighter than the noonday sun, having turned many to righteousness. So then when God comes inside of you, illuminates you, breaks forth from within you, you're going to be brighter than the noonday sun, and all of the world will kneel before you and know that God hath appeared within his temple and that God is with you. So don't let anybody trouble you with them kind of things, because it's not right. And there's no need if you're being troubled with them. We have tried to show you what the coming of the Lord is as to the Gentile age ending, and then as to the change. And as we go along, by the help of the good Lord, we'll do that again and again. Might even comment on some of the things this morning. But at any rate, we don't have but a few days here, and that we're going to Nigeria, and we'll be gone for a number of days, then a week. And then we'll be back with you again. We've been gone for about 17 days and over into Israel and Holland and different places, the Netherlands. Now we're back to be gone again for about month or whatever it is, I don't know how long, and then from there coming back over to Bethlehem, and then on the third leg of the trip leaving again to go into New Zealand and Australia and some places, maybe Russia, I don't know. But anyway, that's what we're working toward, and you just pray that the Lord will help us. You pray that God will help us. And we'll ask God to bless you back here. We will be, if the Lord will help us, we'll be broadcasting back. Now, like we did the last time we spoke to you, for about 20 minutes over the telephone. And it came in very clear because Brother Bill and him played it back to me. I had a chance to hear it. And the next time, the good Lord willing, we'll probably been ministered around 30 minutes to you. I'll be telling you what we're doing as to the best of my knowledge and sharing my love and concern for the home front. And I will try to do that with a regularity as to the weekend. The Philippines, over in Korea, China, or Africa, or wherever we might go. And you just pray that God will bless us and that we'll do the right thing. In Jeremiah's Lamentation, there's a book called Lamentations. A lot of people don't understand what these things mean. Some people do, and I'm fortunate the Lord made me to understand them. He just revealed them to me as I went along. And of course, you know, Lamentations is taken from the word lament. The prophets lamenting for the people, crying and weeping. And so they have a book called Lamentation. It's like 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, or whatever. As to the Chronicles, it means the books of the kings. And the Chronicles is as to chronologize, as we would say, put in a chronological order. To put in a chronological order. That is the writings of the kings, like the days of this king from the time of his dynasty over, as to a chronological order. The book of the kings, or the chronicles of the kings. So here in Jeremiah, it said Jeremiah's lament. In the 7th verse of the 19th chapter, it says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Now, see, here is Jeremiah mourning, lamenting. And again, it's the prophetical utterance, as it was through David in his lamenting and prayers. For it is the Spirit of God speaking through Jeremiah again of the sufferings of Christ. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Now, here, Jesus being deceived, as we would say, as the prophet speaks. God has never deceived anybody. But in the deception as to what this has reference to, would God send Jeremiah as a prophet to say, thus saith the Lord, and deceive him? Would God do that? You know he wouldn't do that. His kingdom would be divided. But in the deception here is that Jeremiah did not understand the full scope as to what God was doing. And Jesus here, though he understood in that he was the fullness of God, as to the inner man, he understood as the Christ, as God, as the Spirit. But as to that which was revealed to the outer man, as the Word was made flesh, in that Jesus came as a little lad, came as a baby, and grew up as a little lad, growing in the grace and the knowledge. That is to say, Jesus, the outer man, as flesh, the flesh being made the Word, as to that which was revealed from the inside, you're doing the same thing. From glory to glory, from understanding to understanding. The Jesus part was to develop as a child, to learn, grow in the knowledge, until he came to the full understanding of the Christ within him. That's why Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we're one. So the same thing is applied to you. Now, on the inside, you have the Christ. And it is revealed to you as the mind of Christ from step to step, from glory to glory, from day to day, as to the outer man. Light to light, faith to faith, understanding to understanding, revelation to revelation. Until you become God. Finally, being revealed to Jesus from step to step, he knew that he was Almighty God in the earth. The revelation of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ revealing himself within you. Somebody would say, that's too tall for me, Brother Pike. That's too high for me. And I'll agree that it is. This is only for them that can receive it. So this is for them that is of the other world. But you just hold on to what you got, you know, and to you that can receive it, the Bible said no man can receive anything save it be given him of God. Some birds can fly high like eagles, others can't stand it. It would crush them. So then it is being revealed on the inside to a people that they are the body of Almighty God. And that they are the preeminence as He is, that is Jesus. As He is, so are we in Him. And that being therefore perfect, we are one with the Heavenly Father. My Father and I are one. He said, Father, make these one, even as we are one. So then we're all baptized into one body by one Spirit as to membership to be one, as not us living, but Christ Himself living. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. So then who are you, Paul? Who are you, Jesus? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Then who are you, Paul? Thou art the Christ. So then someone would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. We can't have two Christs in the earth. There wasn't but one there. Jesus had went away. The Bible said we are in His stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Him. And the Bible said concerning the saints as royal intercessors, pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. I say this again in the behalf of your loved ones and whatever. They cannot get to God unless you pray. People out there, someone would say, well, all they got to do is call on the name of the Lord. I know that they have to call on the name of the Lord. I know that. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that. But the Bible also says that God hears not a sinner's prayer. How are they going to call on the name of the Lord if God can't hear the sinner's prayer? So then the blood atonement there, it is on the altar to take away the sins of all the world, that they may have a chance to come into this light through the intercession as to us interceding to bring them into this light, as we that pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. So it is the body of Christ. Someone said, well, it's the blood, I know. But the body of the Lord Jesus intercedes because of the blood. And we're the body of the Lord Jesus that intercedes. That's why the Bible said, I'll bring upon the mountain saviors in the plural. More than one. Every member of the body of Jesus Christ is a savior. As to a compact membership, the savior. And the Bible said, know that if you convert a soul, you have saved a man from hell. A soul from hell, you become a savior. So then, I said that to say this. Now, we see that God on the inside is, that is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. He is revealing Himself inwardly to the outer man by means of the kingdom of God within you, in that you've been born again. And the Bible said, he that is born again, he hath inherited the kingdom of God, which flesh and blood cannot inherit. So then it comes through the Spirit. The first man, Adam, a living soul, and Adam all die, rejected, killed at Calvary, the tree cut down. John with the axe in his hand, laying the axe to the root of the tree as the tree of knowledge, cutting down the tree. That is, as a family tree, all the way back from Calvary, down through the years, all the way to the tree of knowledge to make an end of the law of sin and death. To fold it up and to lay it away. John, the law and the prophets until John, Jesus came. Thus the tree, as the first man Adam, was cut down, and God turned His wrath on Jesus, as if Jesus looking up as if to say, why hast thou deceived me? For my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is this our agreement that you would forsake me? See, why? If Jesus knew in that sense, why did He cry out? Why have you done it? For what cause have you done it? Explain it to me. See, so Jeremiah here is saying, Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. That's Jesus on the tree. Because, of course, Jeremiah was mocked continually. Honey, we could just take all day long on this, but I'm just going to try to bring out a few things here as to bring out a lesson on it. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoiled, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. For they said unto him, Physician, heal thyself. Others you've healed. What can you not heal yourself? Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many fears on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed. We shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. These men would pray, and they would go and come. As to the anointing speaking, all of a sudden it'd be prophetical. The next, it would be them crying out in lamentation. So, I said that again to say this. This is Christ. This is Christ. Within the prophets, it is Christ. Within the prophets, it is Christ. Not that Christ was within them, as to having the gift of Christ in the sense of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. See, they did not have it on the inside as you and I have it. See, they only had it as an illumination over them as it was on Adam and Eve. And as long as it was on Adam and Eve, they had the presence of God. When it lifted, Adam and Eve did not have it. They had the curse. See, the same thing with the people of today. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, whether it's doctors, whether it's nurses, whether it is murderers, whether it is the tare or the wheat, the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement, and God cannot see those people. There, he died to take away the sins of the world. If God could see them one time, he'd destroy all of it. And he is going to see it. Revelation 8, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, he's going to destroy the whole thing with the brightness of his coming. But right now, from Calvary, it is revealed to you and I as to what has taken place. And if you just give me just a minute or two, I'll try to explain it. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Could it be Christ in Paul and still be Christ in Jesus, and now it's Christ in Brother Pike? It certainly could. What is the difference? Christ and Paul, God with us, Emmanuel, as Jesus, it was the same. For his name shall be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus was there. God was on the inside of this human body. And he was gradually growing in the knowledge of God as to the full stature of godliness. Until he finally said, my Father and I are one. We should be growing to the extent that our human body should be subdued, to be brought into subjection. Every thought being brought into subjection, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, until my human person can say, I'm holy in body as well as in spirit. And I can say, my Father and I are one. That I do always the things I see my Father do as through the eyes of my understanding that has been enlightened. What is the difference then between Paul? The difference is that Christ in Jesus was to the full measure. God gave of himself unto Jesus without measure. For God, the fullness was in Jesus. As to Paul, it was a measure of Christ in Paul. As do every other member, it is a measure of Christ in you. But it's still Christ, and it's still a member of that God body. And as to whatever Christ was within the body of Jesus, so was that revealed unto him Almighty God in the fullness without measure. As it is in you, according to the measure that God hath dealt unto you, and that he has dealt unto every man the measure, then it is Christ revealed to you according to that measure, and whatever your calling is, whatever your place is in earth, that's what you're going to be, according to the measure. Whereas the Bible said, let us go on to the full measure, of the full stature, of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For the Bible said, be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And he that be perfect shall be as the Father. The Bible said Job was a perfect man as to his day, as to his time, as to whatever God required of him. As to my measure, let me go to the fullness of it, then am I perfect. For if my arm is as to the fullness of its duty, and performance as its life, as its strength, or whatever it is, it's not withered, it's not crippled, it's not helpless, then it is perfect in that it is joined into my body and it is one strength with my mind in this one life. So then am I one with the body as the hand. The Bible speaks of this. Paul speaks of the members of the body. But upon some that sees we esteem to be less, he said, we bestow the greater honor. So then in the body knitted together, we are one with God. And whatever the shortage is, then those other members supply the lack. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So we see that we're baptized into a membership by a life, a spirit. I become a member of that body by a life. My arm is a member of my body by the life that flows through it from my heart. So then the God life is in me. I am eternal. I can never die. The reason I can never die is because I can never sin. He that is born of God, the Bible said he cannot sin. If he cannot sin, he cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. Messiah came to make an end of sin in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. And he said, and Messiah cometh. And the Bible said, and he shall make an end of sin. He made an end of sins, plural sins, it says. And all unrighteousness is sin. He made an end of all unrighteousness. So then I'm born of God, therefore I'm free from all unrighteousness. And in that I'm born of God, I keep myself by his grace and by his righteousness. And the evil one toucheth me not. Now let's just take a minute or two and comment here, because it's going to be a little hard to understand. Some of you maybe can understand, some of you maybe not understand. The goal of the minister, the ultimatum of what he's trying to say, is to bring to you the name of Jesus Christ. Holy and reverent is his name, as we say. To bring to you the only name given under heaven, whereby man must be saved, because it is the only name in which you can find salvation. It is our goal, our desire to present this name, because the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon this name shall be saved. So remission of sin shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we preach remission of sin in his name, that all may glorify him and glorify his name. And the Bible said in that day, no one shall be exalted but him. He alone shall be exalted. We sang that song, and he shall be the leading one. Now, in that we do this, we have to prove to you that there is no righteousness of anyone. With all of the gods of the earth as paganistic, there is no righteousness, there is no redemption. Of all of the people that have fasted and prayed and spent much time doing whatever, there is no righteousness. No righteousness. No righteousness. Though they pray, there is no righteousness. Though they fast, there is no righteousness. Though they do all things, there is no righteousness. Except God. There is none good but God. The rich young ruler said, good master. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Well, that is, he said, I'm God, that's why I'm good. He could have said it that way. But there's none good but God. Well, that is, he said, why say something concerning the flesh? I'm a man like you, a man. For their sake he said this. Because the Bible said, and the Word was made flesh, and He was made a quickening spirit, as to the transformation of what He did in death. See, there is no righteousness. Let's take a little illustration to see if we should glorify God. Someone said, but I don't dip and I don't smoke, Brother Pike. And I don't lust after women and I don't do this. I don't commit adultery. That's great. You should leave those things off. You should be holy in body and in spirit as to your efforts and endeavor. But it is not of your righteousness. It is of His spirit. All of your efforts are filthy rags. But you would say, but Brother Pike, God will differentiate between us someday. And you'll see, because I don't do these things, that I'm going to heaven. And if someone else does them, they're going to hell. Well, let's just look at something. For instance, get our bearings. First of all, here's the woman caught in adultery. No doubt about her being guilty. She's done wrong. And the law says she's to be stoned. So all the good folks come around. And when all the good folks come around, the Lord accepts one of them. But it wasn't all the good folks. It was just the adulterer. Let's give him a hand. That's what the Bible says. All right. Why did He do that? Because, as Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, you go about to establish your own righteousness and stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by faith in what Jesus has done for you. And then here are the two men that come up into the temple. And one is standing in the temple and he's looking up like this, and he said, I thank Thee, O God, that I fast. I fast, you know, once a week, twice a week. I fast. I thank Thee that I pay tithe of all I possess, and I'm not like that wretch over there. And the wretch just said, oh my God, have mercy on me. And God didn't accept the good fellow. He accepted the wretch. You know why? Because righteousness was of God and is of God. And here, the man said, I have nothing, but I believe in Your mercy, O God. And through that came grace. Oh, somebody said, well, that's not enough proof. All right. Let's look at it again. Here is David, the great, mighty, good man after God's own heart. Let's see where we go from here. Here is David, a man after God's own heart. A man that God loved. A man that walked with God. A man that prayed, according to the record, 7 times a day. So God raises him up. God makes him a king. God fought his battles. God made his enemies to be at peace with him. God kept him. God gave him the kingdom. But what kind of man was he? An adulterer. Adulterer. He committed adultery so many times until it's unreal. All he ever did was give himself to the passions of the flesh. Are you listening, folks? Read the record. That's all he ever did. He had concubines and wives. All he ever did was commit adultery. Oh, but somebody said, well, it wasn't adultery with David. Don't lie against the truth and deceive. The Bible said, what I've said to one, I say to all. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said, but that was under the law. I know it was under the law. But even the stronger, the Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That was the law. Come on now. We're talking about the good folks. We're talking about God's righteousness or man's righteousness. Oh, somebody said, well, let's forget about that and go back to faithful Abraham, who was the father of the faithful. Let's go back to Abraham, who committed adultery. Let's give the Lord a hand. Had 2 wives. But somebody said, let's go to Jacob. Let's go to Jacob, who had 4 wives. That is along with the concubines. Oh my God, somebody says. Well, let's look at it a little more. David, the fine man. David, the good man. David, the adulterer. Not only that, but David wanted to add murder to adultery. The good man David, a man after God's own heart, the murderer. Somebody would say, my God, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Righteousness is of God. It wasn't of David. See, it wasn't of David. Why did God say David was a man after His own heart? God is not an adulterer. God is not a murderer. He was speaking of the faith that David had. that brought such courage to face a lion, to face a bear, to face a giant, to face his enemies, saying, God will help me. The faith that he had purified his heart by the great Spirit of God that came into it. See, and as I said concerning Nineveh the other day, the ignorance of David as to the undeveloped, he did not have the Holy Ghost on the inside of him, though God was with him and he was a prophet. Now, let's look at it just a minute. So then, we're looking to the righteousness of Christ. That's why they, under the old law, including David, including Abraham, could not come to this salvation without us. The Bible said, and all of these died under the law, but they died in faith, not having received the promise. For the promise God said unto Abraham, and through thy seed shall all nations be blessed. And so it was that the promise was come as to Isaac, through the seed Jesus, and all nations blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, when we look at the situation and we see it, we see that these, as God said to Daniel, shall sleep and rest in their lot. For they were believers, but they could not be made perfect. That is, God could not perfect them, but they slept. They died in faith, looking for the promise. And when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he saw this was the Christ. He said, this is the promise. At last it is here. And immediately down into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Revelation as to the opening of the seals. Revelation 6. The fifth seal. Down under the altars. And he went to preach to the souls in prison. Them that waiting in the days of Noah. The long suffering of Noah. All of them that died in the faith. And they cried out, how long, O God, before you revenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? He said, here's your white robe. That is, the Bible said, when you come into this marriage supper, be sure you have the wedding garment. That is the garment that was tried by fire. That is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus had passed through hell. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire or the lust thereof. See, and he gave them that garment. At last, the soul that was in prison had a new body. As the songwriter said, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. So here he went down to the heart of the earth. These at last could be made perfect. We would say, how? Because as Paul said, all things under the law purged by blood, even when the fire was on the mountain, and he read the law to them, or read the things to them that come from the mountain. He had to sprinkle the book with blood. And he had to do this as to the people. And he said almost everything was purged by the sprinkling of blood. And without blood there was no remission of sin. As to the old covenant. And as to the new covenant, as to the testament, it took the spilling of Jesus' blood, because the testament is of none effect, lest the testator be dead. As to take the blood to the sprinkling, as the animals was as to the blood. So then he tells us that there is the sprinkling of the blood as to the, he said, if to this effect as to the ashes of the red heifer, if they can sanctify, how much more can the blood of Jesus sanctify? So that's why they're searching for the ashes of the red heifer today. The Jews are, they're cut off from the covenant. My, it would take all day just to go into a little bit of this. But I'm saying that those that were under the law could not be made perfect. Paul said, and the comma thereunto could never be made perfect by these things, because they were allegoric as to types and shadows of that which was to come. And said, and there was brought to God's mind every year the remembrance of sin. That is, on the seventh, it was on the seventh month, the tenth day, that the high priest went into the sanctuary and the holies of holies to offer something for the atonement of the people, bring into God's memory again sin. But Jesus, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, once and for all offered his own body up to God for the people. And the Bible said, and these priests that stood daily administering these things had to offer sacrifice for themselves and then for the people. Whereas Jesus did this once and for all for himself and then the people. And as Daniel said, the angel said to Daniel, and Messiah made an end of sins. There is no more sin to the believer. It is gone eternally and forever. He is spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish. He cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him. He cannot sin because righteousness is not of man and man's doings. It is of God. And the Bible said God is sanctified once and for all. The people that are believers, by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the faith of Christ offered to the Heavenly Father, by which we're sanctified, that we should contend for that faith. And it says, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So they that were under the law could not be made perfect. But when they came over and Jesus went to them in the heart of the earth, and then those came on this side of Calvary, he hath perfected forever and reached back and perfected them that was under the law. For without us they could not be made perfect. But coming on over to the promise, at last it had come, then they were made perfect, one with us. And we could say a lot about that. All right. So we see this beautiful thing of what God is doing in the heart of Jeremiah, and again the prophetical things toward Jesus. As we said concerning Jonah the other day, it was all about Jesus. See, Jesus disputed with the Jews, and he said to the Jews, "said you think you have eternal life. In the scriptures you think you have eternal life." That is in the Old Testament, in the words of the Old Testament, the prophetical utterance. He said, "you rest in them with confidence that you have eternal life." He said, "but these are they that testify of me." Or that is, he said, "these scriptures that you rely upon," he said, "search these scriptures. For these scriptures are pointing to me. They are testifying of me. They are prophetical utterance of me." Here it is in Jeremiah, a prophetical utterance pointing to the coming Messiah. See, and yet the veil is over the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is over the minds of the people. Even the spirit of Satan as to the fall in the garden, as the veil that was over Rebecca's face until she was taken into the secret chambers of the mother. And then Isaac removed it. Shamefacedness in the presence of the husband, because we've fallen from the steadfastness as to Eve away from Adam. And the middle wall of partition is then in between us, and the iniquity as to no good thing within the flesh, Satan dwelling in the flesh. That is the first birth. Satan, the prince of this world, the god of this world, savoring the things that be of the flesh, interwoven with the flesh. Paul said, "within my heart I want to do right. And there is a will within me to do good. But how to perform this within my physical being, my body, I can't find. For when I go to do good, I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members." That is, the law hath power over man as long as he lives. Well, it would take a lot of explaining there to try to explain what we're saying. Some of it we got on tape. I'd like to say this. The one thing we need to remember is that we are not in the flesh. Therefore, the flesh only can be under the control of the law as long as it is alive. But we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus unto sin. And the body is dead, the Bible tells us, because of sin. So then we are a quickening spirit. No longer is a living soul that can die, because we pass from death unto life. Because we cannot sin, and the sting of death is sin. Therefore, we are alive eternally as to the inner man, and we are bringing the outer man to this redemption, in that we are waiting to wit the redemption of the body. We say witty. That is to say, on the inside, these God wits, as from glory to glory, as understanding to understanding, a little precipitation as to the revealing of that light, that it should not come upon us while we're in our condition of darkness, because light destroys darkness. And if I be a creature born of darkness, as to the first man Adam, and then this light come upon me, then I'll disintegrate, I'll dissipate, I'll be no more. But as to the little precipitation is light, as to the developing of the film in the dark room with the little red light that represents the blood, then we are making a change gradually as this light comes. And we are becoming, as to what we are, with him, to become interwoven with him, to make a positive, as we say, from this negative side of life, as the first man Adam, going to the second man Adam as a quickening spirit, to be eternal in our body as well as in our spirit. That is, that the spirit would be made flesh. That is, that the word would be made flesh. For he said, my words are spirit and they are life. So then the God spirit, my spirit, as my inner spirit, as a temple life, have been made flesh. And if my spirit leaves my body, the body is dead without the spirit. But if another life comes into me at the ending of my own life, or if that is, if the spirit of God comes into my spirit, because I have the sentence of death in me, and the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that he eradicates this and says unto me, if pass from death unto life, you shall never come into condemnation. So then I get a new thing to place my faith in. Now, if I move that sentence of death and the inner man as the spiritual being comes into my flesh, it is no longer I but him that liveth, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because when I was born to the spirit of my earthly father, I was bone of his bone and I was flesh of his flesh as to his image. Now I'm born to the spirit of the heavenly father that has created royal blood in me, and the life of God is in that blood of Christ. And now I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, in that God doesn't see me in my depraved state of being as this body dead, buried, and in the watery grave, but sees me beyond this valley of the shadows, over here on the mountaintop of the change in Thessalonians, as the body of Almighty God that outshines the noonday sun. All right, so he doesn't know me after the flesh as to my faults, my stumblings, my errors. My righteousness is not of me, but of God, being found in that day that my righteousness be of God. All of these men that done these things, let's look at Moses, the giver of the law. Here is the good man. So then we're going to say, now at last we found a good man. He only had one wife. At last we got somebody, because it's to be Jesus the prophet like unto Moses. All right, here's the good man Moses who is a murderer. Let's give the Lord a hand. Murdered a man and hit him in the sand. Here's Abraham that killed people. David run through a troop, leap over a wall. Thou shalt not kill. People who strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel, saying that you've got to fulfill the law. Back there, they fulfilled the law. That's why there were such good people, somebody said. We've got to keep the law. Paul said, as being blameless, touching the law as to the best he could do. He said, none of you keep the law. And the Bible said, by the law shall no flesh be justified, not even the Lord Jesus. Justified in the spirit, the Bible said he was, for our example. So, I'm saying that when you look at it, where is their righteousness? Where is my righteousness? My righteousness is of the law, because there is no righteousness except of the law. But Christ, keeping every jot and tittle, fulfilled the law within me, that I might be saved by the judgment of God to the law by the righteousness of the law, which is Christ. For he is the righteousness of the law, and he's the end of the law to everyone. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith in God without the deeds of the law. So all that Moses did hath nothing to do with it. All that the law says hath nothing to do with it. If I was justified by the deeds of the law, I'd be condemned to hell. Like I told that rabbi, that Jewish rabbi the other day. I said, God said every time he sent you folks a prophet, you killed him. Every time he sent you a wise man, you killed him. He said, we kill prophets if they say one thing wrong. We know that's not God. We put them to death. He said, they're worthy of death. I said, but you're a man just like I'm a man. I said, and you err and you stumble and filled with mistakes, Israel and the rabbi. I said, and yet to kill those people that come because you judge them according to your law, that is to say they're guilty of death because they stumble, when you're stumbling and staggering all the time because you're blind. You know, that didn't set well with him. I said, what you need is the blood. I said, how do you get remission of sin? He said, I just go to God and ask him. I said, no, you know better than that. You're rabbi. I said, that can't be. Oh, you tell me the scriptures? I'm a rabbi. I said, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. I said, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. Not the New Testament. I don't receive that. I said, the Old Testament. I said, there is no remission. I said, you know what you need is the blood of Jesus. I said, when you stumble and stagger, I said, that'll give you a chance, as we say, to get by the whipping post and the judgment of God, because you're sure doing a lot of stumbling and staggering. I said, because you're wrong in the scriptures to begin with. All right, I said that again to say this. We have
a great, mighty thing within our heart. Because we have Christ, which is the hope of glory within you. He alone made heir to the glory. So he's our hope of that glory. He appeared in that glory on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. So we have him on the inside. As to whatever measure we will give ourselves to him, that is our measure. You know, some people just aren't going to yield as others. Some wants to be just like Jesus. Some are willing to think that they're like Jesus when they are only a little bit like Jesus. And a whole lot like the first man Adam. See, so according to your measure, go on to a full reward. Let's receive a full reward. Go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. You say again, Brother Pike, how can that be perfection? I'm a minister, and the Bible said the ministry, God has set forth a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. If there's a change of the law, there's of necessity a change of the priesthood. If no more Moses' law, no more Moses' priesthood. Now then the priest, the high priest, after the altar of Melchizedek, much we could say about him. And the ministry as to the priesthood of this ministry, the law, the covenant of grace. So I'm saying this, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. As to what measure you will receive of him, and that he resurrected from the dead and gave unto every man and dealt unto them the measure of the faith. Whatever we want to be, folks, in him we are complete. As to membership, one to another, as to the full measure, as to the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. But if we want to be perfect, to go on as the apostles, to sit upon thrones, to rule, for he hath made us gods and priests. He hath made us kings. And he said, ye are gods. See, we could go on and go on and go on, but I know it's hot. I can stand it because I'm soaking wet already. I was the other night. A little bit up here and I'm soaking wet anyway, without exerting much effort or not. But I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. I want you to absorb this, that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revealing of Jesus Christ. Someone would say, what are you talking about? I'm saying the coming of the Lord as within the saints, appearing within his temple to be glorified within his saints. And we could explain that in detail as to this side of Calvary, but it'd take a long time. You have to take my word for it. See, the ending of the days of the Gentiles are at hand. And now the church is coming in with great power. Satan has wore out the saints. Now they're rising by a new message to take the kingdoms of this world and possess them forever and ever, because they already have the kingdom of God within them. And the Jews rejected it, they received it as the true Jew. As those Jews over yonder, I could have said to the rabbi, but I didn't just want to cut him all to pieces. The Lord brought it to me. I could have said, you're not a Jew to begin with. For he that is Jew is not a Jew outwardly, but he that is Jew inwardly. But I wanted to win him to God. So I spared him in a number of places. All right. You know, you can just kill a person. You can completely wreck a person. So, I have Christ on the inside. As to whatever his measure is in my life, I am moving toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. Heaven is my throne. It's a big place. Earth is my footstool. And he shall sit down in the Spirit with me. For heaven is the Spirit. He that overcometh, for Christ the light alone dwells within the Spirit. No one else can approach the Spirit. The light is the Spirit. And everyone that be of the body of Jesus shall dwell in the light, even as he is in the light. For if you walk in the light, in the mind of Christ, as he is in the light, you're not in the flesh. You'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse you from all sin, all unrighteousness. For he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself, and the evil one, as to the inner man, the evil one toucheth him not, because he is born of God. Now, that means he hath passed from death unto life. Because he cannot sin, he cannot die. Because of that, he is a God. He is a God. Let me say this in trying to close, because I know it's hot and you're wanting to get on to your dinner, and I'm going to turn you loose. Jesus, on one occasion, preaching to the Jews, I've said this to you before, preaching to the Jews on one occasion, he reproved them because they kept finding fault. And finally, Jesus just got upset and said, "You're just wrong." And they said, "Abraham is our father." He said, "Say not to yourself that Abraham is your father." He said, "Your father is the devil." He said, "That's who your father is." And said, "If you know Abraham, these others you'd known me." He said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it," whereas he did under the oak of Mamre, the Bible speaks of it. But he said, "He saw my day and rejoiced to see it." They said, "Well, you're not yet 50 years old and you say that you've seen Abraham." For Jesus died at the age of 33, we suppose. Now he said, "And you say that you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, "For what good work do you stone me?" We don't stone you, they said, "for these good works you've done. But you being a man say, Abraham saw your day, you make yourself God. You put yourself before Abraham. You say, before Abraham I was. And being a man, you make yourself God. We know that you're a man. We know that you're the carpenter's son." See, and Jesus said, "Is it not written in the scripture," speaking of the book of Psalms, you can check it, it's written there, "that I've called ye gods? Or didn't Jesus say to Moses, I made you God to Aaron? Big men, I've made you God." Isn't it a true fact that if you live forever, he said, being short of knowledge or lack of knowledge as to your godship, to utilize your faith, you die as men. Somebody would say, "Well, God couldn't die like a man." Jesus was a God, but he died like a man. In the man part. So then he said, "You die like men. You just go the same way men go when you shouldn't die. Because it's coming a day," he said, "the mystery," as Paul said, "will not all sleep. You're going to get knowledge and understand that you're not a mere man, that you pass from death into life, and your faith is going to make the change. You're going to be eternal and forever." So then he said, "Is it not written that I have called ye gods in your own scriptures? I have called ye gods." So I said that to say this: it was revealed to Jesus that he was God by the inter means of the Christ, growing in the knowledge unto the full measure of God. We are growing to the full measure of God. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Didn't try to make of himself a reputation. Let others say it of you. But he did go on until he knew that he was God. And he said to the woman, she said, "I know that Messiah cometh." Fulfillment of Daniel, "Messiah cometh." He said, "I'm him. I am he. Lest you believe that I am he," he said to them, "you'll die in your sins." Today, unless you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that righteousness is of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those men under the law back there were not saved because of their goodness. Some of them was very wretched. But because they acknowledged God as to what they knew of God through the atonement of the blood of animals until the day that the true Lamb could come, because of that, they were saved to the extent of believing to the day of Brother Pike when they could be perfected. Let's give him a hand. And they without us could not be made perfect, but today we are perfected forever, sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus, justified, predestinated, sanctified, and also glorified. Perfected forever, for he hath glorified the church. And we're here as the minister to preach to you, not to quit chewing and not to quit cursing and not to quit doing these things, but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to call on his name, that you may have faith in God through the name of Jesus Christ as to the atonement for your sins. And when you do this, he will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it shall come to pass that whosoever quits drinking or cussing or smoking shall be saved. No, it didn't say that at all. It said, and he so loved you while you were yet in your sins that he gave Christ to die for you. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said, when you believe on the name of the Lord, to repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And according to the Bible, then Cornelius, before they were baptized in water, as to any act of their own, the Holy Ghost came, and the Bible said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, who can forbid water that they should not be baptized? Okay. Now, I said that to say this. So then I call on the name of the Lord, and Jesus said to cleanse the platter on the inside, and the rest of it will come into order. So I said that to bring out a point that we call upon the name of the Lord, we trust in the righteousness of the Son of God, because we've never known sin. We have been in our ignorance. And now we learn about Him and we call on Him, and then He saves us by giving to us of His Spirit. And when His Spirit comes on the inside of us, it begins to wash out the adultery and wash out the cursing and wash out all of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and everything else. It begins to cleanse us on the inside. And from knowledge to knowledge and faith to faith and glory to glory and the things of God, we begin to perfect holiness unto the Lord by being holy in body, or redeeming the body, in that God has, through the atonement, redeemed the body, but it's left up to us to save our body from this underworld generation. That is to save ourselves. That is to reveal, as we grow in the knowledge, though it is required of us, and the body must come into it. If at any time we should reject that, then it would be a positive proof that we have the illumination as tasting of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, in that it comes upon us. But that we did not have the seed of God within us, or we would have conformed to everything, every step, every desire to be one with our Heavenly Father, as the measure on the inside brought the body to this wonderful Godship. So then, if you're not going on with God as the beholding body, you don't have the Spirit of God within you. You may reflect God and come into it and may get a knowledge of it as to reflection. And as quick as you get out of the presence of it, you go right back to your gullible desire as to what is in your heart, for the child is known according to his doings. And you go back to your doings as of the world, and you're always found joking and cursing and laughing and doing the things of the world and the frolics, and having known the right way and not going it, you've tasted of these things, as all the world must taste of them through the grace of God. Before the blood is lifted off the mercy seat, they all must know of his love. The love of God constrains us. Faith worketh by love. And then you coming to this, learning this, and then going away, doing those things, the Bible teaches that you are doomed and damned, eternally damned and doomed. Because the Bible said, he that cometh to the knowledge of God and then goeth to the things of the world, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, because sin is... For sin, there is an atonement of the body of Jesus as the innocent lamb for a person that's innocent, to the extent that they did not know right or wrong. And when they come to the knowledge of it and they willfully trample Jesus under feet and the blood of Jesus under feet, the Bible said those under the law in the days of Moses died under the witness of two or three. How much sore punishment shall they be thought worthy that will trample the Lord Jesus and the blood of Jesus or of this covenant under their feet as to an unworthy thing? See, so when you do this willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful, looking forward to, of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. So then, let us take heed. Let us take heed. Jeremiah lamented and spoke of being in derision, and the people mocking him, as to the Spirit of Christ speaking of the day of his suffering. So then we see, as to the sufferings of Christ, I preached on Jonah the other night, the sign of the resurrection, giving him the glory. Let's give him a hand. Righteousness is not of the law. They always transgress the law. Even the leaders. Righteousness is not of men. It is of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Let's love him with all of the heart. Withdraw, come out from the world. Be a separate people. Be holy in body and in spirit. And do always the things that please the Heavenly Father. Following in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile, found in his mouth, going on to a full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, to a full reward, that we might be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No one will be above his master. Let's stand together and sing a little chorus. Righteousness is of God. That's why he did not accept the Jews. Someone would say the poor Jews all their life, they kept the law, and here God, he gave it to them, and then he comes and beats them over the head. Not so. He gave them the law, and as Paul said, none of you kept it. The Jews never did keep the law. They just got more holy than thou even to kill the Messiah. They never did teach the law. All they ever done was teach the tradition of the elders. And like I told the rabbi, I said, my Savior never did break the law. I said, all he ever done was break your traditions as of the elders. I said, he fulfilled every jot and tittle because the law could not pass away. As to the righteousness of the law, fulfilling our lives and our heart to bring us eternal life until every jot and tittle was passed or fulfilled. Oh, there's no remission without the shedding of blood. When the Jews come to Christ, they'll come just like you did, through the blood. Won't be no other way. Even the 144,000 is sealed in. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Down in Egypt. Otherwise, as to the firstborn of Adam, you'll die, for in Adam all die. The life is in the blood. When you get the blood of Jesus, you got a new life. Forgetting those things that are behind, let us press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, even the righteousness which is of God. Let's give him glory. Give him glory, all ye people. You love him? Amen. The songwriter said, and give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. If you love him, say amen.
Amen.
And if you'd like to come and stand with them, if you'd like to have special prayer, or if you desire our prayer in the behalf of your life, body, loved ones, or whatever, the ones who would like to have it, stand right here with Brother Washington. And the Bible says, whosoever you bless shall be blessed. And whosoever you curse shall be cursed. I read to you from Jeremiah. The Lord has said unto him, I've set thee over the nations. That's why he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've set thee over the nations to plant, to pluck up. And we're here to pluck up. For every plant that the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. And we're the plucker up. And every plant that the Heavenly Father hath planted shall be watered as from on high by the wonderful Spirit of God. So not as to a temporal watering, as to the blood that's on the seed of atonement, but as to an eternal source, as to the waters that never run dry. The waters that never run dry. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave to the little widow all. And the cruse of all never failed. Never at any time did it fail. So he gave her water that wasn't from the well. I have shed my blood. You are now my children. Let's give him a hand. That makes me glad. Glory to God. The Bible said, and they that have entered into the rest of the Lord have ceased from their own works. And he spoke to them of the Old Testament, saying, because you didn't keep the law, you mumble and grumble. He sware in his wrath they would not enter into his rest. And the earth opened up and swallowed them up. And the Bible said, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. And we've entered into that rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we don't have to figure out how good we are. When the devil comes to you, just say, I'm just as good as the blood. If you want to see how good I am, there's my righteousness right there. And that makes me glad. Hallelujah. Don't that make you glad? Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands, showing the sign of Calvary. Oh, Ramanda Ramashi, Taramanda Ramasina Morosai. Ulamandali diandalamo shandali asandalamo sayo. Hallelujah. Undaramasi andari andaramos andaramos andaramanayo. Ulabasi andali andalamas andalamo shi andali alamos andaramanayo. Uramarasai. Hallelujah. Father, I feel you blessing these people even before I ask you. You said it would come to pass that you would hear before I call. Even in your wonderful foreknowledge as to the elect of sonship, I bless these people in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, and having been blessed, they are blessed. Blessed of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I bless them in Jesus' name. To love them, to watch over them, to take care of them, to enlighten their hearts and their minds in the great, wonderful depths of your love. And the eternal life, bless them. And Lord, I bless their loved ones. God, as they believe, as they receive, as they follow on to know Jesus. I bless them in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, may your love go with them. May you watch over them in the wonderful name of Jesus. While you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother David Houser to come back and dismiss us. The Bible said, and in that day there shall be a fountain that's open in the house of David. And Brother Houser is here. So if the Bible says, and if this tabernacle be dissolved, we know that we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. So as Brother David comes moving in, the Jews are beginning to come in, which is the redemption of the body, which is the house of David. And all of a sudden, this great, wonderful, spiritual Holy Ghost that's inside of you, the true Jew, a Jew inwardly, shall enter into the body of those Jews as the church goes out. And that spirit will be the fountain that will be open in the body of the Jew, which is called the fountain open in the house of David. For they will receive the spirit. It will come to them. And we're nearing that place right now. So let's remember that as we stand here before God, loving the Lord and believing with all of our heart. Believe with all of your heart, to love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, with all of thine heart.